We're back on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Mike Blue and George Kurtz. Please follow us on Twitter at FNTSY Radio. I'm at Mike Blewett. George is at George Kurtz. But joining us right now is a guy who's in my Scott Fishbowl league or conference or division. I don't even know how to properly refer to it because it's such a massive undertaking of the 720 teams. Do we call it a division, Joe? Do we call it a conference? I don't even know. We're in the ELSA division, I guess, of the new Princesses Conference. Is that the best way to say it?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of how I roll with it. Okay. I know my 4-year-old daughter's happy I'm in the ELSA division.
Yeah, exactly. We're in the ELSA division. Frozen is on at my house as well. So Joe Bond is at Fantasy Six Pack. He's the founder of FantasySixPack.net. He hosts the Fantasy Six Pack Hour on Blog Talk Radio and also writes for so-called fantasy experts. So thus far through the Scott Fishbowl, you know, it's obviously with the scoring system, George and I talked about it yesterday, it's created a funky way of drafting, right? We see tight ends going early because they're seeing bonus points. We've seen a lot of quality wide receivers slip. How do you feel about your team so far? We actually are one of the slowest drafts in this slow draft, or we're in the ninth round that I just picked earlier this morning. I got Larry Fitzgerald in the ninth round, and it gives anybody any indication of how late some quality wide receivers are slipping. But you happy with your team so far? You've loaded up at running back.
Yeah, I mean, with this format, you've got to go, in my opinion, you've got to go pretty heavy running backs at some point just because the first downs, I mean, you got to get these guys that are going to get volume and get more first downs. It's going to be, you know, that's the premium right now, as well as tight ends, like you said. I mean, and tight ends are flying off the board. I mean, I never take tight ends early. And I took Travis Kelce in the first pick of the second round. Never, ever have I done that in my life.
Yeah.
So...
yeah, you have McCoy, Lamar Miller, Spencer Ware, Doug Martin. You took Travis Kelce in the second round. Your quarterbacks, because this is a super flex, are right now Marcus Mariota and Phillip Rivers. I think you got to be happy with that. You've only got Keenan Allen at wide receiver, but that's probably going to be your next focus in these next few picks.
Yeah, I'm looking wide receiver. I do have one pick in front of me, so I don't want to give too much away. But wide receiver is definitely on my wish list right now.
All right, Joe, it's a Superflex league, so let's talk about how you change your strategy drafting quarterbacks in the Superflex from a standard league.
Yeah, so, I mean, clearly we're taking quarterbacks early, and then, you know, in this league, I think the quarterbacks, they score just so much more than everybody else. So you've got to go get two, in my opinion, to really compete, you've got to get two probably in the top 15, maybe top 18 at worst in order to really compete. Because after that, I mean, you're looking at guys, I mean, you're seeing some people with their second quarterback here. Now, Alex Smith is okay, but there's question marks there. Sam Bradford, eh. I mean, you're just that probably fourth, fifth tier of quarterbacks really is kind of questionable. And so, you know, I tried to go after a couple guys that I know are going to be in good situations, lots of good weapons around them, and, you know, but I didn't want to go. I don't think it's completely necessary to go out and get Drew Brees and Aaron Rodgers. You know, you don't need that. You still got to be able to focus on the other positions too. You can have the two best quarterbacks in the league and you're still going to lose if you have nothing else.
Yes.
So can't completely ignore it.
Yeah, it's a good point. I mean, I took Brees in the second round because I wanted to have a rock-solid guy, and I didn't quite know, since I picked towards the end of the round like you did, I didn't quite know how the run was going to look of quarterbacks. So I was like, let me get one now and then wait on the second one. And George and I were actually texting the other night when my pick came up in the sixth round, and I was like, I really just kind of wanted another running back or wide receiver, but I was nervous that there would be a quarterback run. And it's to your point, Joe, because that fourth or fifth tier of quarterback, depending on how you slice it up, I was worried about having that. And if I hadn't taken Roethlisberger in the sixth round, the following guys went: Eli, Tyrod Taylor, Blake Bortles, Carson Palmer, Ryan Tannehill, Deshaun Watson, Joe Flacco, and Alex Smith, all before I would have picked again. So that's what I would have been looking at, to your point. I would have been looking at Alex Smith or Sam Bradford or Jared Goff, and I would have found myself in a tough position. So I think you make a great point when saying that you got to, while you don't have to have the top two, you have to make sure that there's at least a point in which you're solid at the position and not worrying about guys getting benched.
Yeah, and I'll be honest, you know, even at the turn pick, I had the end. I've got the 12th pick, so at 1 and 2, I thought about taking a quarterback, but I risked it. And, you know, I was looking at all the ADP data out there, and I know it's a small sample size with that ADP data, but we risked it, you know, I risked it. You know, I'm bouncing stuff off friends, too. Well, I'm doing this, that's why I say we. But I was risking it not taking the quarterback there early, because in all the ADP data, quarterbacks flew off the board in the second and third round. For some reason, our draft didn't, and a lot more wide receivers went in ours than most. Even though there's still a lot of wide receivers dropping in this because of the scoring format, there was still a lot more wide receivers taken in this than other drafts, and that's why you were even able to get Ben Roethlisberger in the sixth round. Like, that's not possible if you go look at a bunch of other leagues. So you're pretty fortunate there, actually, and I'm fortunate I was able to get Phillip Rivers at the end of 5, early 6.
I guess so. Next question, you have Spencer Ware and Doug Martin on your team. Are you higher on Ware than most people? I know a lot of people worry about Spencer Ware. Last year, as the season went on, he sort of lost production there. They didn't use him in the passing game as much. Tarkandrick West, you got the rookie there now. What's your speculation for Spencer Ware?
Yeah, I guess I am a little higher on him. I've looked at the rankings of Fantasy Pros. I am a little higher on him. But I don't know. Hunt's good. He's got a lot of talent. I just think Ware was still overall really good last year. I don't see how he's just going to give up this job, at least early season, to Hunt. I think Ware is going to at least start the season out, be good, and then, you know, look, we got 22 roster spots. I'll fill some guys later. I'll have enough depth at running back where if spare drops off like he did last year, I can find somebody else to fill him in. And look, even if Ware is only good for the first 3 weeks, I can flip back in Doug Martin at that point.
So, Joe, you're in Maryland, right?
I am.
Who's your team? Is it the Ravens?
No, so I actually grew up in Northern Virginia, so I'm a Redskins fan.
Okay, so George.
Sorry.
I know.
George wrote an article this summer for our Exclusive Edge draft package where he talks about new faces, new places, and the guys whose name has come up on our show a lot, who we both like, but there are question marks surrounding him, is Terrell Pryor. He got to Washington in a really strange fashion, because how does a guy like that, after producing, only get the 1 year, $8 million deal? But he finds himself in an offense that is relatively pass heavy. So how high are you on Terrell Pryor?
You know, I've got Terrell Pryor right now ranked around a wide receiver 2, borderline wide receiver 3. Look, I mean, the main reason why is because volume is going to be there. Like you said, it's a heavy pass offense. And he did produce last year, but, I mean, there's still question marks. I mean, he wasn't a wide receiver in college, so who knows what this guy really can do. You know, there's a lot of talk from other cornerbacks around the league last year that he wasn't any good and whatever. He kind of shut them up a lot last year, but I don't know. There's it's a little bit of a risk. I haven't targeted him in any mocks or any drafts that I've done so far. There's other guys around him that even if I have him ranked a little low, I feel safer picking them, like a Dante Moncrief and even a Brandon Marshall. I heard you all talking about him. But, I mean, the volume's going to be there, and he's big guy. And, I mean, Cousins is clearly just going to throw the ball to him a lot, I would think.
Yeah, I like Pryor this year. I think Pryor's going to have a big season. Sticking with Washington, let's talk the running game here. Who do you think Perrine ends up being the number one back by, let's say, October?
That's a pretty good guess there. I don't really know what to say with the Redskins running game. It's been not very good the last few years. There always seems to be another, like, the next guy every single year. You know, last year was Robert Kelly. He didn't really impress me last year. So Perrine comes in. He's the next hot name. Can he do it? Sure. But I'm really just kind of avoiding the Washington backfield, so it doesn't really matter to me.
In general, we talked about prior. Obviously, the running game is not something you're in love with. I do like their offensive line with Trent Williams in there for a full season. I think it'll help Cousins even more, honestly, if that guy stays healthy, which I would hope he would. He's kind of break the bank. So which of all the Washington players is the guy that you feel like you're targeting the most? I think a lot of people in PPR leagues are in love with Jamison Crowder. Are you the same, or is there somebody else that you'd rather have?
Yeah, Crowder in PPR leagues is definitely one of my favorites. If we're talking non-quarter, I mean, I seem to be kind of where I take my quarterbacks. Cousins seems to be right around that range, so I seem to be taking him a lot. But if we're talking non-quarterbacks, then yeah, it's Crowder. I'm going for him in most of my leagues.
I mean, 29 total touchdowns and 5,000 total yards is all right with Cousins, so I think you're okay there.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a big, in Scott Fishbowl, it was a big debate with me, Mariota or Cousins. I was flipping the coin there a bunch of times and finally just fell on Mariota.
Well, it's good, Joe. I appreciate you joining us today. Good luck in the Scott Fishbowl. We can find Joe on Twitter at Fantasy Six Pack. He's the founder of FantasySixPack.net. He's a writer for so-called fantasy experts and host of the Fantasy Six Pack Hour on blogtalkradio.com/so-called fantasy experts. So thanks, Joe. Appreciate it. Good luck in the rest of the draft.
All right. Thank you, guys. Good luck to you.
So we'll come back and talk a little bit more about maybe Washington, maybe the Giants. We'll wrap up the NFC East for now, for the first hour. Mike and George back on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.